Shai, what exactly is tetralogy of Fallot?
Well, it's a complex congenital heart condition, but basically it involves a hole between the two ventricles, the two bottom chambers of the heart, so that the blood with oxygen mixes with the blood without oxygen, and basically the baby doesn't get enough oxygen to their body. Also, in a lot of cases, there's limited or no blood flow from the heart to the lungs, and that's a situation called pulmonary atresia, which is what happened to Jimmy Kimmel's son.
When did you find out that your son Amos was affected by this condition?
My wife had a late ultrasound at 36 weeks just to check the size of the baby, and the doctors saw that his aorta didn't look quite right. So we got some more testing done, and they determined that he had tetralogy of Fallot. Fortunately, though, he did not have pulmonary atresia, so he did have a pulmonary artery that was able to get blood out to the lungs.
And this, in the case of your son, turned out to be part of a larger condition, right?
Yeah. When they sat us down and talked about the condition, they said that often the way that his case was manifesting, it's often connected to a genetic condition called 22q. After Amos was born, 2 days later, we had a genetic test done, and it was confirmed that he had 22q. That's a genetic disorder that has a lot of symptoms, but one of the common ones is the heart condition, tetralogy of Fallot.
And you knew, even before he was born, that he would require heart surgery pretty quickly. So when did that happen?
Yeah, we did know that he was going to require heart surgery. What we didn't know was how he would do once he was born. So they sort of prepared us, and they said, well, it's possible he might not get enough oxygen to his body, and that would require earlier intervention. So when he was born, I distinctly remember, you know, they took us through the delivery room. It's a special delivery room at the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, and they have this little window, and they said, we're going to deliver the baby here, and then we're going to take the baby and we're going to put him through this little window to another room, and they're going to check like his vital signs, and they're going to check to make sure that he's breathing okay. So in Amos's case, after he was born, they checked him out, determined he was actually breathing fine. He was what they call a pink tet rather than a blue tet, which is what Jimmy's baby was. Pink tet is preferable. So he was able to come home with us after 5 days of monitoring in the hospital, and then we went back to the hospital at 3 months. He had surgery done to repair that hole called a ventricular septal defect between his two chambers.
Take me to that day of the surgery. What was going on with you? What was going on with your wife, Kate?
Well, they got us up pretty early in the morning. Amos had to take him through a bunch of preparations. He had to be cleaned with a sterile solution all over his body and sort of inside his mouth, and just to make sure there are absolutely no germs everywhere. That started probably 18 hours before. So we brought him into the hospital that morning. It was early December. And they took him back pretty quickly, and we got to spend probably 45 minutes with him, just sort of hanging out, and you know, we were both looking at him, and up until then he really hadn't shown any signs of distress, and the whole thing seemed a little just sort of strange to us. You know, he sort of has always appeared to me a very healthy baby, and here he was going to go in for this big involved surgery. We were emotional. You know, we said goodbye. I kissed him on the forehead, and they took him back to the operating room. It was emotional.
Yeah. How long was he in surgery, and where were you during that time? You can't be in the operating room.
No, they took us to a waiting area, and we were there for a total of about 4 hours. Every hour, we had a nurse come in and update us on what was happening, where they were with the surgery. You know, after 1 hour, it was basically, we've done all the prep work and we're ready to make the incision. at 2 hours, I think she came in and said, well, they're finished with part of the surgery, but they need to take him off of – he was on a bypass machine. They need to take him off of bypass and make sure that everything is working okay. At 3 hours, they said they were basically ready to close up. And, you know, before I knew it – they're very, very good at this. You know, before I knew it, they were basically finished, we were being ushered into a different room to go see him.
So once you reunited with Amos, what was that like?
That was also emotional. I don't know if anybody got to see the pictures of Jimmy Kimmel's son. That was more or less what Amos looked like. A little fewer machines. He was already 3 months old, so he was a little bigger, a little stronger. But he had this big white patch on his chest, and he had all kinds of tubes coming out of his chest. There was a drainage tube coming out of his chest. It was draining fluid. He had what's called a CPAP that was sort of forcing oxygen up into his nose.
And he's a little guy.
Yeah, he was such a little guy. And I remember that his cry sounded really, really hoarse. You know, he was sort of just groggy and didn't know what was going on. And I kind of wanted to pick him up and make it better.
Yeah. How is Amos now?
So Amos is doing great. He's 8 months old now. For the first couple months after the surgery, he wasn't able to be on his stomach. But after that period of time was over, he was able to roll over. He can now, you know, sit up, and he's eating solid foods, and he's babbling, and he's putting everything in his mouth. I do want to say that because of his genetic condition, 22q, he's going to face some other challenges in his life. But thankfully, at this point, he is relatively healthy.
It's amazing that they can do these big procedures. I mean, perhaps even a decade ago, his chances would have been much lower.
They would have been a lot lower. My understanding is that Tetralogy of Fallot is one of the first surgeries they were able to do on kids. But even 10 or 15 years ago, they didn't have the success rate that they have now. The scary thing for a lot of parents with kids with this specific condition is they have to go back in later in the kid's life for additional surgeries, usually to replace a valve, because they usually have to cut through it. Fortunately, in Amos's case, they didn't have to cut through his pulmonary valve. So he'll always have Tetralogy of Fallot, and his heart won't exactly be working like a normal person's heart. But at this point, they don't think he's going to have to go in for follow-up surgeries, which is pretty huge.
Yeah. I don't want to put a price on, obviously, what happened and the beauty of the success, but I do want to know, what did this cost?
Yeah, we did get an invoice that was just sort of the total amount that went to the insurance company, not the amount we were supposed to pay. And I don't remember the exact figure, but it was something crazy like $170,000. And I don't know how much we paid total for this. I think maybe insurance had us pay about $1,200 total for the hospital visit. I can't imagine being faced with having to make a decision about saving my son's life and thinking about the cost of it. That just never entered into it for us, fortunately, thank God.
Sounds like it was stressful enough as it was.
It was plenty stressful.
I'm glad Amos is doing better. Shai, thank you so much.
Thank you, Maiken.